730 The Ump presents The Griff Show with Scott Griffin. Call now, 1-866-485-WUMP. That's 1-866-485-9867. Now kicking your afternoon drive into high gear. Here's Griff.
Wow, what a show we've had so far. The 5 o'clock hour for those of you getting off work and going with us. We'll take you on the journey again as well. Jake Locker, the Tennessee Titans quarterback, joining us earlier. You'll hear from him again. Some of the reaction from Madison Academy and the big losses today in the Final 48 in Birmingham from high school basketball. Also, an exclusive interview, a couple of minutes with Anthony Grant, the day of the game, Alabama-Auburn, as he was at the high school tournament. We grabbed him before he went out. We got more thoughts of Anthony Grant as well. We've had a lot of stories going on today. One of those that caught my eye was one on Mississippi State, who has lost 5 games in a row, and some of the comments being made by some of their team via beat writer Brad Locke from the Northeast Mississippi Daily Journal. Now, Brandon Marcello's our guy. We call on from the Jackson Clarion Ledger. We want to see what he knows about some of these comments. The article, Brandon, first of all, good afternoon. How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks for hanging out with us. Mississippi State falling apart on the court in the locker room. First of all, your reaction to that headline, and are you seeing anything like this? Like there's trouble in paradise. Not that we expect the team that's lost 5 in a row to be skipping along and whistling Dixie.
Yeah, I mean, what happened, I'll give you some background. What happened is Arnett Moultrie walked into a media interview room on Monday in front of several beat writers and sat down, was very quiet, wouldn't talk a lot, and, you know, we kept asking some questions, and I asked him a follow-up question for something I'd asked Saturday about how he said that after the Alabama loss that he could sense that this season was slipping away. And I said, after a couple of days off, do you still feel that way? Was that he the moment thing? And he said no. And then he went on his little bit of a rant there, saying that he doesn't think that they probably have anything left in them to make the NCAA tournament now. He called out teammates for their work ethic and said he doesn't turn anybody on the team for guidance. He turns to people outside the program, and it definitely turned heads. And I think it even caught Coach Rick Stansbury off guard. In fact, he walked in the room about 5 minutes later to talk to the media, and when we alerted him of it, he had no idea. It was a very strange and surreal atmosphere Monday at the Humphrey Coliseum, the home of the Bulldogs.
How serious should we take it? Did you take it? Because, again, a team that has lost 5 in a row that Jerry Palm still says is in the bracket – is not going to feel great about themselves, but how serious should we take this when one of the better players is saying this kind of stuff?
Well, and it shows you that, as you said, there's some trouble in the locker room. Rick Stansbury says the locker room's fine, but, I mean, this team has just been falling apart at the seams the last 5 games. I mean, they have lost games that they should have won. I mean, they lost in overtime to Georgia at home. They lost on the road to LSU in a game they probably should have won in regulation, went to overtime as well. Lost to Auburn in a game that they were up by 8 points and lost that one. Kentucky, they play close. And then, obviously, they go to Alabama and get blown out. And what's hurting them right now is I feel like that Arnett Moultrie knows that he's carrying the bulk of the load on his own shoulders because, you know, they're having to play a lot of minutes, these starters. They don't have much depth. And what's hurt them recently is Rodney Hood, their all-star freshman, who averages about 11 points a game and gives them several good runs in games. Is out with a knee injury, and it's hurt them. They have no depth. They have 8 scholarship players on the bench right now, including their 5 starters, and I think that the pressure's starting to get to them, and Arnett Moultrie just feels like it's hopeless. And it does not help that when you don't have the bodies to make a run, that one of your best players, your best player, is saying these type of things. It cannot be good for the locker room.
No, they can't. And for folks listening in, part of what he said, if you heard Brandon talking about it when asked about making a run at our large bid, he said maybe not, probably not. And again, he's the double-double king. And as you said, one of your best players. You don't want any of them saying that. What does it tell you that head coach Rick Stansbury is taken aback by this?
Well, he walked in. It was kind of interesting. He walked in right as Moultrie was finishing up, and the very first question was, Arnett just said some things that would open your eyes about, how he doesn't turn anybody, on the team or the coaching staff for guidance. He says that he doesn't believe you guys have what it takes to make it to the SEC tournament. Also, he says that these players are, aren't working hard. And Rick said, well, I don't know if he said that, but if he did, you don't want him to say that, but it's obvious frustration. That's what it is. It's frustration for them more than anything. And I think that what's disturbing about it is that it almost seemingly that you just couldn't expect that to happen from one of the star players. When one of your star players is saying things like that, even if the coach kind of knows it, it surprises them when they say it publicly. And I think more than anything, that's probably what upset Rick Stansbury.
No question. And especially when you're trying to get it together for a winnable game coming up and then your final home game against Arkansas, who's not as good on the road. I mean, a couple of wins, I think Mississippi State is in, right? And
yeah, it's gotten to that point where, they were a lock a few weeks ago, and that's kind of helped.
Yeah.
They had some good non-conference wins. But, they got in a situation now where they play two teams that are, quote-unquote, probably, not very good. They don't have great RPIs. So they have to obviously win those next two. But the question is, do they not only have to win two, but maybe three? Do they have to win their first SEC tournament game? And here's the thing, Arnett Moultrie was almost like a Debbie Downer during that whole press conference. He said that he thought that they needed to get all the way to the SEC tournament championship game to get into the tournament. And I don't know if I believe that. I do believe that they probably have to win the next three to get in, because here's the thing, they're in right now in these other brackets. These next two wins are not necessarily going to solidify that, because
right.
As these other smaller tournaments go on, these conference tournaments, you're going to have upsets, and you're going to have a team that gets the automatic bid that you're not expecting, and that's going to knock these bubble teams off, and one of them at the very end is Mississippi State. So I think State, to get in, they've probably got to win the next three, which is going to be tough for them. They've lost five straight, and as I said, they're dealing with injuries right now, which is probably more than anything hurt them.
Brandon Marcello, our guest, Jackson Clarion Ledger on the Mississippi State basketball. I don't want to call it a mess because they're in the tournament, but it's just a mess in the last five games. I really thought they would get confidence, though, from that unbelievable effort against Kentucky, but do you sense it deflated them more than built them up to know that they can stay on the floor with the number one team in the country?
What's interesting about that game is that was the game Rodney Hood got injured his knee in the first half, and that's when State was doing so well. He got injured, things changed a little bit, they ended up losing, and Stansbury came out right, said that if Rodney Hood wasn't injured, we would have won that game. And I have to agree with them, because Kentucky changed their defense up. They took a bigger guy and put him on D-Boss, who was going nuts for Mississippi State at point guard. And I think that more than anything, it hurt them because they put so much into that game, and not only did they lose it, but they also lost one of their best players. And they have to figure out a way to deal with that. And they've had to take a guy that's been off on the bench, put him in the starting lineup, and things aren't clicking right now offensively for them. And their defense is second to last in the SEC in field goal percentage defense, which is just not typical of Rick Stansbury teams. Rick Stansbury teams are always pretty good defensively, and that was not the case this season. So you're not playing good defense, and then you lose one of your best scorers like Rodney Hood. It's not a good recipe for success. I mean, you look at the box score at Alabama, they lost 67-50. State's bench contributed only 4 points off the bench. You're not going to win games, especially in come tournament time, with that type of production.
Did you see that coming, though? I mean, you're around it every day. I thought this would be a desperate, dangerous team Alabama took on Saturday. I was frankly surprised by the ease of it.
You know what? I wasn't very surprised at all. And I thought that was a loss going in, even before the Kentucky game. And even, in fact, after the Kentucky game, when they lost to it, I thought so, too. I think the players were down. I think they were tired. They put everything into that game. And going to Alabama, a place that they have struggled in recent years anyway. And Alabama was kind of in the same situation, knowing they needed to win another game or two to get in the NCAA tournament. And Alabama been playing much more better, much better as a team. And State just hasn't. Even in that Kentucky game in the second half, they put up some shots, didn't do some good things. They were showboating at times, trying to get alley-oop dunks in the first part of the second half. They just have not made the smart plays. And Alabama had. I've been watching in the last few games, and was not surprising at all that they lost. Maybe that they lost by nearly 20 points was, but
yeah,
I thought they were going to lose by 10 or so, something like around that range.
So I'm trying to gauge whether these are bad guys or just the bad mix, and they're okay when everything's going well, but when there's adversity, it's not truly a team. Is that the case from your standpoint?
I think they hit around the nail right there. There's some good guys on this team, but when adversity hits, they're not necessarily a great team. I mean, they started the season hot, and really this five-game losing streak is the only time they have faced adversity all season. I mean, they had played, even when they did lose in the non-conference season, they lost to teams like Baylor, you know, a team that they took to the limit that was ranked in the top five at the time. And, you know, there were questions. How's this team going to act under adversity? Because a lot of the same guys were on the team last year that had all that stuff happen on and off the court were back on this team. And I think that the guys thought that they'd be okay. But the thing that sticks out the most when we have to talk about this is that Arnett Moultrie talks about his teammates not working hard. And Rick Stansbury later says, you guys know who that is, but I'm not going to say the name. And who he's referring to is Renardo Sidney. Sidney is a guy that does not play hard for 40 minutes. He has his spurts. He's got all the talent in the world, but he just does not play hard like everybody else on the team practically does. And I think a lot of Arnett Moultrie's frustration stems from that. But the thing is with this team, it's so weird, they won't say his name. They just will not say Renardo Sidney's name. And we haven't been allowed with the media to talk to Renardo Sidney all season. It's the strangest thing, but I think that he is the root of a lot of their problems right now. But he's also so very good that they can't bench him because he plays hard at times. It isn't like he's a complete wash, but I think his attitude at times has hurt the team, and it's frustrated his teammates.
Well, it's interesting you say that because, and I'm not comparing, but maybe I am, that Anthony Grant has the same kind of problems from his two supposed best players, and he did bench them, perhaps not for playing hard, but certainly we saw some of that, and you have too, from Tony Mitchell and Jamichael Green. It seems like that action has come to help that team. Now, obviously it's very difficult for a coach that's judged on wins, like you said, to bench or discipline one of your best players when you really need him out there. I don't know. It's an interesting dynamic with a team 50 miles away that has done that and has turned out to be okay.
Yeah, and here's the thing, Renardo Sidney, you know, it's just strange everything that goes on with him. We all know what happened in Hawaii last year, and you know, in December of 2010, and it's just, you know, he's had suspensions back then, but he hasn't been suspended for anything this year. Rick Stansbury, he's talking about how he's a better teammate, but he might be a good guy, and he's a very smart individual, and gets along with the players a lot off the court, but on the court, just his effort is what rubs people the wrong way, I think, more than anything. And that's where the frustration comes from. And so it's not like one of those situations where you can just suspend the guy because he's not playing hard, but maybe you can bench him. But the problem is, State doesn't have any bodies. But it's a very interesting situation, one that Rick Stansbury is obviously – I mean, it's his bet. He made it. This is what he's doing.
Yeah.
This is what he's sticking to. And I think that, you know, with Sidney, you just know that you have to chance it because Sidney is a guy that could go off any minute. I mean, we saw it last season. He went off on Vanderbilt, just had one of the best games I've seen from him. And he's had those moments again this year, maybe not as consistently, but when it comes down to crunch time, seemingly Sidney plays his best games. And I think that's what Rick Stansbury is counting on, and he's willing to chance that chemistry to see if he can get that out of him again.
Final question for Brandon Marcello, Jackson Clarion Ledger, talking about Mississippi State basketball problems. The quote on Stansbury's state of the locker room, we've been good, we've had no problems there. Boy, it almost makes him look bad when players are giving you the quotes they're giving you, and the coach comes in afterwards and goes, no, it's not a problem. It's like, okay, what? You know, I mean,
yeah.
Is that just, it's obviously coaches speak, right?
Yeah, I think there is something to that. But like I said, I do think the guys get along together in the locker room. But when you start losing, you start pointing those fingers at each other, and it's easy to point to Renardo Sidney and other guys. And I think also Moultrie mentioned this, that in the beginning of the season, before the season started, a lot of the players like DeBoss were talking about this being a Sweet 16 team, a team that can maybe go to the Final Four. And Moultrie just wasn't buying that. He didn't want to say that. He just didn't understand why his teammates were saying things like that before they even really played a game. And Moultrie sat up there on Monday and said, you know, I see guys coming up here talking about Final Four and all this stuff, but they're not really willing to work to get there. It's just strange. I think these guys get along. In fact, one of the walk-ons told a local paper here that they had a come-to-Jesus meeting after Moultrie's comments. They had a three-hour practice. They all got together. And he said it surprised him that Moultrie said those things because the night before they all went out as a team to hang out. He says they all joke around. They never get in fights. They're always real fun to be around with each other. But when Moultrie said that, it kind of bothered them a little bit. So they had that meeting. And then today you see on Twitter these players are tweeting back and forth from their hotel room in South Carolina. They're playing Connect Four. They're hanging out. They're joking at each other, poking fun. Just a weird, very weird dynamic with this team right now. That they say they get along and they do these things, but then Moultrie says what he says. It makes you wonder. And as I wrote today in our paper, the Clarion Ledger, that this is either going to be their turning point for the season or this is where they absolutely melt down. And tonight is the perfect example of what to do there because South Carolina is the worst team in the SEC. State should beat them easily, but they could easily, just as easily lose with the very volatile nature of that team chemistry right now.
Yeah, that is something. It's at South Carolina. I'm assuming you're there.
Actually, I'm not. I am not. I wish.
Oh,
I
you're
was.
Not there. Okay.
I am not.
All right, but I know you'll be following it, and then of course at home against Arkansas on Saturday, and you can follow Brandon at Twitter at bmarcello MarcelloCello for the latest of Mississippi State stuff. And give the website where people can read about the article you're writing.
ClarionLedger.com. That's our newspaper here in Jack.
Just ClarionLedger.com. Good stuff. Brandon, thanks as always for joining us on the fly. We appreciate it.
Hey, no problem. Thank you.
Thank you, buddy. Brandon Marcello, the Jackson Clarion Ledger. Again, Twitter at bmarcello, and then JacksonClarionLedger.com. There's some problems on Mississippi State's team, as you heard him say. 23 minutes after the hour here on The Griff Show. We will take a break. We will come back with more. Hang on.
The Griff Show.
Are you looking for a new car and don't know where to go? Do you need a name?
Welcome back to The Griff Show. Had a chance to catch up with Titans quarterback Jake Locker earlier in the show. If you missed it, it was very early. We've got it here for you now. Of course, he'll be battling for a starting quarterback job with Matt Hasselbeck with the Titans. We wanted to talk to him about that. Plus, the combine just ending. He was a combine star in the NFL. And we want to talk about the importance of the combine since that just ended in Indianapolis. And the fact that his quarterback coach at Washington was Doug Nussmeier, who is now the offensive coordinator for the Crimson Tide. All those covered in the next few minutes. Here is our interview with Jake Locker, Titans quarterback, who's in California right now, working with former Jets All-Pro and Jets quarterback Ken O'Brien.
Yeah, I was down there in California for a couple of weeks throwing with him. I'd thrown with him before the draft last year, and really enjoyed working with him. So I went down and spent some time, you know, my wife and her family and stuff's from down there. So went down and saw the in-laws and was able to work out with Ken. It was great.
You're a smart guy. Kill two birds with one stone. I like that.
That's right.
Let the wife visit the family, get some workouts in. What kind of stuff did he show you that Sarkisian and some of the others hasn't? Just some little quarterback things, quarterback to quarterback kind of things?
I don't think it was as much that they hadn't. Things they hadn't showed me. It was just I think, you know, when you're preparing for the draft, it's a different deal than when you're getting ready to play in a football game. I think Coach Nussmeier and Coach Sark, when I was there, their focus was to get me ready to play every Saturday. And sometimes that's not always on the small little details of you as a thrower, the simple mechanics of it, you know, because you're trying to understand the offense, you're trying to understand your reads and progressions and what a defense is going to do to you. So that you don't have the time to be able to really sit back and focus on what you do individually as a player. And you know, the college coaches are so limited in the off season as well, that I think it was one of the first times for me I just got to spend time with somebody where it didn't matter what the play was. It didn't matter what the defense was. It was just, hey, this is some things mechanically that you can tweak a little bit that will help you out.
And, you know, I think we're seeing a lot of that, isn't it, because of the sophistication of it. Tom Brady with his guy, Tebow's out there with the former Auburn guy, Noel Melzoni. I think Phillip Rivers is out there with him too. So it's good just to have another set of eyes, right, on footwork and throwing motion and all those kind of things, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you can always tape yourself and watch it, but, you know, that way it's on the field. It comes from a different perspective than your own. And it's something that, yeah, I think that you're able to fix right there on the field, and then you start to build that muscle memory, and it becomes second nature to you.
Now, I want to ask you a little bit about draft stuff, but let's talk about last year first. You came in several times for Matt Hasselbeck when he was dinged up, and I think you've got to be pleased with what you displayed out there, 99 quarterback rating, and had some moments, showed some mobility. I think the Titans would be excited, were you?
Most pleased with probably was just that I wasn't overwhelmed. I felt like what I had done throughout the week to prepare got me ready to play, and that was one of my goals coming in. You know, it's obviously playing at a new level, and the guys are a lot better, and you see a lot of different things. So from a preparation standpoint, that was one of my goals, is just to make sure that every week when I went into the game, if I got an opportunity to play, I felt confident in what we were doing because I had prepared the right way. And that's how I felt when I went in and played. So I think that's what I was most pleased with. And I think that allowed me to play loose and play free. And you know, obviously there's a lot to learn. There's a lot of film, you know, that looking at this offseason and places to improve. But, you know, I think, I think one thing I can really be pleased with was the preparation process.
Yeah, and for folks listening in, Jake came in against the Falcons late November, a couple of touchdowns, 140 yards, and then ended up 4 passing touchdowns, 1 rushing touchdown. And what I liked is, like you said, you were prepared, which means what I saw is the team was confident in you. You know, it wasn't just, oh, here's this rookie coming in. That they were confident in you because they knew the work you'd put in that week.
Yeah, I think that's the goal as any player on a football team. I think you want, throughout the week of work, the body of work you put in, you want the other guys to see that it means something to you. And that, like you said, when you go out on the field and step on the field, they can count on you, whether that's as a starter or as a backup. I think that you want to have that respect to your teammates anytime you get the opportunity to play on a team.
Our guest, Jake Locker, a few minutes. Titans quarterback, played in Washington, the combine. You're not far removed from the combine stuff. What was that like? Is it overkill? Is it analyzation to crazy? Or you think it's legitimate to express what kind of player you can be? Because I know you had a great one and ended up being real highly drafted, even though you were expected to be highly drafted anyway. But I thought your combine was good.
Well, thank you. Yeah, no, I think it's just part of the process. You know, it's gotten to the point now where I think every team dissects everything they can because of the investment they make in these players. You know, it's a substantial financial investment that they make in these guys, so they want to find out everything they can. I think the combine is just another part of that process. It gives you a kind of an insight into maybe athletic ability that you didn't know they had, or thought that maybe they were a little more athletic on tape than they showed in testing. So there's just different. It's just kind of like a cross check. I think most of the information they gather through your film study, then that's just something that I don't ever believe the combine can really hurt you. I don't believe it'll truly hurt you. I do believe it can help you, though. But if you go out and run faster, then maybe you look on film or you look like you got yourself in better shape, lost some weight, whatever it is, I think
right.
The combine can help you, but I really don't think it can hurt you.
Is the pro days important, too? Because the combine gives them one litmus test, and then you have your pro day. How important is that deal these days after the fact to show that you've worked on whatever they told you need to work on? I mean, is that key too?
I think you hit it right on the head when you said that their main focus when they come back for a pro day is to see, hey, what kind of criticism did he get after the combine, and what has he done to remedy that? You know, has he spent time in the areas that people told him he needed to, and has it improved? And I think when you're able to show that you can do that in a 3 weeks in a month, it allows them to see that you're coachable, that you're willing to learn, you're willing to adjust, and you're going to take to the coaching they give you.
Yeah, and what were you measured at? Were you 6'2" at the deal? And
I was 6'2.5". Yep.
6'2.5" and about what? 225, 230?
230, yeah.
230. And what did you run the 40 in? Do you remember?
It was 4.5, 4.52, something like that, I believe.
Jake, that's wide receiver tight end stuff.
Yeah, well.
Not that you should be going there.
It was a lucky day.
you look good at it. I want to ask you, because I think it's intriguing. Everybody's kind of spread crazy these days, certainly in high school, and college is getting that way. You were in a pro system, and then we'll get to the Alabama hire in a moment. But being in the pro system, how much you think that helped you get ready for where you are now?
I think it makes a difference in the transition. I think you're comfortable under center. So when you got to go take a snap under center, it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
I think making the adjustment to the shotgun is easier than making shotgun to under center, just because there's a different dynamic there, and there's got to be a comfort level of not thinking about getting the snap, but just believing you're gonna, and then being able to play from there. And it's a different viewpoint. You're throwing the ball from a different point in the pocket. So I think all those things factor in a little bit, and there's a little bit of a learning curve when you haven't been under center a whole lot. So I think there is an advantage for, especially early on, for guys that have been in that more pro-style system, because that's what most teams in the NFL are running.
Is it an odd dynamic to be, and I know Matt, I'm going to assume, helps you out and you guys talk, and it's always an odd dynamic to me when the quarterbacks are battling for one spot, yet they help each other and all that. Now, obviously, he's at the end of his career. You're beginning yours. What is that like? And then I know going into this year, you're both kind of be battling for the starting quarterback job.
Yeah, well, I think, the nice part about our quarterback room is outside of football, we have a friendship that it goes outside of, our meeting rooms and practice and that sort of thing. We spend a lot of time just as buddies hanging out, and I think that for us, that allows us to both go out and compete and do everything we can to win that job. But, when you're doing that, each guy is able to get the most out of himself as well. So I think, at the end of the day, we help each other because he's going to push me to be that much better, and I hope that I do the same to him. And whoever does end up getting the opportunity to start, I don't think there's going to be jealousy, resentment towards them. I know from my end, like I said, I'm going to prepare as if I was starting, and when I get my opportunities, I'm going to take advantage of them. But I'm going to help Matt as much as I can in whatever way I can, whether it's, from the sideline, helping him see what defense is when he comes, if he's got a question about a certain play, whatever. At the end of the day, I think all the guys in our room want to see each other have success. And, we're gonna do our part to benefit in our team's success, no matter what role it is,
And you've already kind of shown what you can do in a very difficult thing, and that's coming in the middle of a game and getting it done. And then you see a guy like Aaron Rodgers, who really sat for 2 or 3 years, or actually 3, I think, now that I think about it, and came in without missing a beat. I think there's value, even if you're sitting, if you take it correctly, to being ready when your name is called and you are the guy. And obviously it's inevitable for you with the Titans, I think.
I hope so. I hope so. And, yeah. And like I told you guys earlier, I said the same thing last year. I'm going to just, approach everything as if, I get the opportunity to start at any point. And I'm going to prepare myself that way. I'm going to, work that way and practice and try and earn that spot every week, whether you have it or not. Go at it with that kind of attitude, and I think that you allow yourself to grow and learn as a player week in and week out when you do that.
Just a couple of minutes left with Jake Locker, the Titans quarterback, started Washington. A good player for the Titans last year, coming in for the injured Matt Hasselbeck. He'll be gunning for the starting job this year with Hasselbeck. Doug Nussmeier, of course, Alabama hires him. He's one of your quarterback guys, along with Coach Sarkisian there in Washington. Just tell us about him for any fans listening in that are looking at him at Alabama. I know you had a good relationship with him at Washington.
Yeah, you know, I think that's probably one of the greatest things I can say about him. He's a great coach. He brings a lot to the table football-wise. But above and beyond that, I think the guys in that room, especially in that quarterback room, will be able to build a relationship with him that goes beyond the field. He's a guy that you can go in and talk to him about whatever, whenever, and you felt comfortable doing it, or at least I did. You know, still talk to him frequently and check in on him, and he does the same to me. Just he's a great person, and I think that speaks more about him than you know all the accomplishments that he's made as a football coach.
And really, it is the mental, isn't it? When you're talking about your position, coach, for quarterback, because at your level, even in college, not that you don't need to work on fundamentals, but you know what I'm asking. It's more mental, and having a guy that played there and was successful there himself has got to help, because he kind of knows what you're going through, whether you're on cloud nine playing great or you've missed seven in a row. You know,
exactly.
He would know what to say, right?
Yeah, he understands what it takes to be successful at position. He understands when you're struggling, what you're going through. He coaches from that stance. You know, he's not in the room telling you it's easy, because, you know, it's not. It's not an easy thing to do, but he does expect a lot out of you. And so I think with the combination of that, he gets the most out of you, because you want to play not only for your teammates, but you want to play for him. You want to be successful for him, because you see how much he invests throughout the week and throughout the year and how much it means to him for you to have success. And so I think any time as a player, when you see that from a coach, you're going to want to give everything you can to him. And that's how I always felt playing for him. I really think that having a relationship with him that I did allowed me to be in the position I am today.
Yeah, finally, he's not called plays. I'm sure he was involved when you guys were doing it. Some fans were worried that he hasn't technically called plays, but I know when you've got an offensive head coach like Sarkisian and him, really it's a conglomeration effort anyway. I mean, it's combined, right?
Yeah, it's pretty collaborative. You know, they put the game plan together. You know, they do everything together. There's a lot of input from Coach Nuss on the headphone throughout the course of the game as to what he's seeing, what he liked, maybe something to get us going or to keep us rolling, whatever it was. You know, there was a lot of back and forth between him and Coach Sark.
Better athlete, you or your wife, who was a softball player, and Washington was pretty good, if I remember.
Right? She's the only one that's got a national championship ring, so I think
national,
I
that's
that.
Right,
she's
they won me. It. They won that. I forgot about that.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
Did she get a ring?
Yeah, oh yeah, she's got a pretty sweet ring. Pretty sweet ring.
That's unbelievable. And then you were drafted by the Angels, and then when you see the cash they're laying out the pool holes, do you think, crap, I picked the wrong thing?
No. I love the game of football, and I'm happy that it's all worked out the way it has.
It's going to be good. Well, we're glad to have you in the Music City. We appreciate you hanging out with us here in Huntsville. And like I said, we carry the Titans games up there, and we try to get up there as much as we can. All right, that is Jake Locker, NFL quarterback for the Titans. Might be the starter this year. 15 minutes till the top of the hour. We will take a break, come back. Anthony Grant. Had a chance to stop Anthony a couple of minutes this afternoon before the Alabama-Auburn game at the high school championships. You'll hear what we had to say with the Alabama head coach. That game upcoming right here on the Ump a bit later on, less than an hour from now. Well, about 6:30, the pregame, 7 o'clock tip on the Ump. We'll have Anthony Grant more when we return.
The Griff Show. You work hard. Sitting down.
I think that's a mark of a good team. You know, anytime you have a variety of guys that can step up, you know, I think that's the mark of a team that's going to be a good team, a tough team to beat.
That's Anthony Grant. We'll hear more from him in a moment. Alabama-Auburn tonight. pregame at 6:30 and the tip-off coming up at 7 o'clock right here on The Ump. We've also played some Madison Academy things for you from the high school championships today. Both the girls and boys losing to Greensboro today. Heartbreaking losses. You heard that earlier on The Griff Show. Other headlines, Jimmy Johnson's crew chief. Six races gone. It also cost him 25 points, 100 grand. Chad Knaus suspended for six races along with car chief Ron Malik. And they have been suspended through the Talladega race in May. Also, a 100 grand fine and 25 points deducted. That means, for the first time in recent memory, there's a driver with minus points. Jimmy Johnson is minus 23 points on the season. Already 70 behind Matt Kenseth. That is not good. Alabama's A-Day game live April 14th on CSS. If you are wondering about the television part of that, it will be on tonight. Now, we'll be heading down there, the Griff Show, for Alabama-Auburn coverage in just a few minutes as the show gets over and bring back the sights and sounds from Bama and Auburn's perspective coming up. Tony Barbee shorthanded tonight. A couple of players suspended in that one. They're 14-14. Bama 19-9, 8-6 overall. Bama wins and LSU beats Tennessee, then we likely have a scenario where Bama gets a first-round bye in the SEC. So it'll be interesting to see what happens in regards to that. We had a chance to catch up with Anthony Grant. Exclusive interview, a couple of minutes with the coach as he was about to head out of the high school championships today. Up there watching some hoops on the day of the Alabama-Auburn game. Trying to check out some possible future titers. And I had a chance to talk to the Alabama basketball coach before tonight's Alabama-Auburn game.
Talking with Anthony Grant, talk about tonight's game. The importance, obviously, trying to get that top four so you can get a bye is huge, besides it being a big rival.
Well, obviously, the first thing is it's our next game, so it's the biggest game on our schedule, and obviously, it's Auburn. So, obviously, when we play each other, there's always an intense battle, but there's certainly other things that are looming. We're in a position where we can control our own destiny, so we got to take care of ourselves, and it starts tonight.
I think with all the stuff that's gone on, you've lengthened your bench, hadn't you? It's been a little bit of a blessing with the suspensions and stuff that you've kind of found some guys that can play.
Well, you know, we've had some guys that have had opportunities that hadn't had opportunities before, and they've stepped up. I think as a team, we've gotten better. And that's what you want to see at the end of the year. You want to see your guys improve. So I think right now we're probably playing our best basketball of the year, and that needs to continue as we go forward.
The confidence and the quality of shots has been great the last couple of games.
Well, I think obviously winning helps build the confidence. And I think with every game, as we have success, as individuals have success, our confidence grows.
Trevor not playing tonight, any guesses to Saturday? Or I know you'd probably like to have him wait till next week's tournament.
Well, we haven't made any decisions as of yet, so we'll see what happens. But you know, I think we're progressing nicely.
Good luck tonight.
Thank you.
All right, that is Anthony Grant. Earlier today at the Alabama High School Athletic Championships, my conversation with him, Trevor Lacey. You heard him say, not giving away much information there, but he was warming up on the court. We have reports down there about an hour and a half before the game, testing the ankle. I don't know what that means. I don't know if that means he'll. I would think he'll dress and probably not play. But we'll see what happens as we go down there. Time to sneak on a final thought, if you'd like. 866-485-9867. 866-485-WUMP to get in on the Griff Show. Riviera Fitness Centers. The fine folks at Riviera Fitness, 539-6211. The New Year's resolution. Yeah, we're almost done with the first 2 months, but you can still get in with no enrollment fee right now at Riviera Fitness Centers. Great classes. Best classes around besides great trainers. With Zumba, spinning, body sculpting, kickboxing, and again, everybody's raving over the MMA schools that are there. From beginner classes to advanced fitness classes in MMA. We're talking kids. They call that class the Little Warriors. Women. Men, it doesn't matter. You want to get in fighter-level shape, they can do it for you at Riviera Fitness, the Athens location, or the University Drive location as well. Reach your goals. They got some great people to help you reach your goals, some fitness trainers there that are among the best in the business. So whether you're just wanting to lift some weights, do some cardio. Maybe you just like some of the classes, like body sculpting and spinning, or you do kickboxing, or you want to try the MMA. They've got it, that and all, to help you tone up, put on some muscle, get ready for the beach in spring, and much more. Riviera Fitness, and again, now, no enrollment. The great thing is, you call 539-6211 or go to RivieraFitnessCenters.com and you can get you a free one-week pass. That's right, a free one-week pass at RivieraFitnessCenters.com or by calling them and check the place out as good as you can check a place out. They are the best in the business. Riviera Fitness Centers, again, University Drive, as well as there in Athens, right there on Highway 72, just a mile or so off of I-65 there. Boy, we've had a great show today. Absolute fantastic show. The coaches from Madison Academy, Lydia McGee as well joining us, Jake Locker, the Titans quarterback, talking about Alabama's new offensive coordinator as well as the combine. Jack Doss joining us just hours before Butler plays tonight in the 4A semifinals against Escambia County. As well, the girls going right now, Good Hope and Andalusia, are scheduled to go in just a couple of minutes. We'll keep you updated on that as we go along. Brandon Marcello, writer for the Jackson Clarion Ledger on Mississippi State's problems. They go to South Carolina tonight as well. And then, of course, Anthony Grant joining us there from the Final 48. Again, coming up in about 30 minutes or so from now, you'll hear Anthony Grant and the folks from the Crimson Tide taking on Auburn tonight. The final home game of Jamichael Green's career. Some are clapping that he's leaving. Some are clapping that he's had a nice career. In any event, it is his final home game. The Tide 19-9, 8-6 in the league. Auburn 14-all, tied up there, 14-14, 4-10 in the league. Tip-off 7 o'clock. You can hear the game here on the Ump. It is televised by the SEC Network. Tomorrow on the show, Andrew Bone will join us. We'll talk recruiting, a lot of recruiting news ongoing, as we say, here. Auburn adding a signee just a couple of days ago as well, and much, much more on tomorrow's show as well. So we'll be heading down to Tuscaloosa to cover that for you tonight. Have the thoughts from Tony Barbee and Anthony Grant here on the program tomorrow, as Alabama hopes to secure a bye in the first round. Auburn fans hope to upset Bama on the night they give the trophy at the half for winning the Iron Bowl. So, big night in store. Tickets sold out. Only student tickets remaining for the Crimson Tide. For our executive producer, program director, Jason Marks, back in the studio, Scott Griffin saying so long. Have a great evening, folks. Remember, 30 minutes from now, Bama basketball right here on the Ump. Have a great evening. WUM.